You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 318. What fresh hell is this? Listen to you giggling.
Oh, wait.
Welcome to episode 318 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I'm Paul French, and today I am proud dad, lad, because my little girl all weekend has been all about watching The Legion.
Yay!
She has watched it before and thought it was neat, but she was, you know, thinking she wanted to watch something yesterday, and she said, like, maybe Teen Titans or this or that. And I said, hey, how about this? And I put it in there, and she watched it and loves it. Loves it. So she's all about the Legion cartoon right now. I could not be happier. And she was like, she watched the Timberwolf, and she goes, Daddy, his name's Timberwolf. and then she watched the legacy one, the one with the descendant of Luthor, and wanted to watch it again. Daddy, mm-hmm. that one was great. I want to watch it again.
Aww.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. So I'll have her watching more later in the week. So
mm-hmm. Sounds good to me, sir.
It's a beautiful thing.
Sounds like you're doing a fine thing. Job there.
Right?
Fine job.
Victory.
Light the cigar. Yes, indeed. Done.
Over to you, sir.
Oh, I am Darren Noel, and I am what the hell am I? It's end of semester guy. How about that?
We've been asking that question for 5 years.
I know, right? Six, technically. So
I've only been asking for five.
That's right.
I know. You're behind the rest of us. you're the Ted McGinley.
Yeah.
So. No, I had a really huge project due last Thursday. Got it in around 1 a.m. in the morning. Followed my Facebook updates to see how crazy I got, because I was losing my mind. Because you would think people who are acquainted with IT information systems would run their crap through a spell checker before sending it on to you to revise. Oh, no. So I wasted 2 hours doing their work for them. Yay. Thank you. I hate group work. Hate it with a passion. So I was up to like 1 a.m. finishing that off. And then I went to Alabama Saturday. It was a beautiful day, though. It was cold up on the mountain. It's actually gotten below 30s here. And up on the mountain, it's colder.
Muffin.
I know.
Wait,
we're not used to that, okay?
Carry the one.
You know what?
How much is that in real degrees?
Y'all come down here in July sometime. We'll have a conversation, okay? I want to see y'all walk around the perimeter just once. It'd be fun. Pile of sweat.
Okay. So under 30, pretty much what we've got now, Scott.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's that whole polar vortex.
I really feel for you.
We're at 28 right now.
Yeah.
And it's not bad.
No, it's not. It's not terrible, but we went from like 75 degrees to that in a day.
Aw.
Yeah. So the whole polar vortex thing, people just say it's getting cold. Okay. Just there's no need to like be all Ebola about the weather. Go get over it. seriously. And I've got a couple more things left to do, and then I am going to Disney World.
Oh yeah.
For a long weekend. So I am looking forward to that. So I'm trying to get everything done in the house and all the schoolwork wrapped up before I walk out the door and turn off my work email and just walk away from everything for a few days. So.
Nice. Friends of mine are at the world right now and loving it.
No doubt.
It
is the happiest place on earth for a reason.
Exactly. They are halfway through a 2-week trip. So.
Wow, that's a long time.
Seriously.
They're gonna overdose.
Yeah, no kidding.
Overdose on the mouse.
Okay.
Over to you, Scotty.
I am Scott Coles, and tonight I am Weekend Warrior Lad.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, after 3 years of trying, I finally managed to convince my work to give me the weekend shift.
Ooh.
I am now working 2 12-hour shifts a week and 5 days off in between.
Wow. That's a sweet deal. Yeah. You're a man of luxury now, practically.
Practically. So it's going to be – this is my first weekend. Like I just finished my first weekend, and the Friday was easy. The Saturday was hard. It was long.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. That stretch between 5 and 8 in the morning drags.
Coffee, sir, coffee.
Oh, I drink so much energy drink.
Oh,
that stuff makes your pee so yellow. Yeah. That taurine glows yellow. It's like looking the Yellow Lantern core in my crotch.
Okay, so at DragonCon, a friend of mine gave me a multivitamin to take. What the hell?
So Scott, working for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Wait, before we get sued.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You're supposed to cut to the relevant bit.
Fair use.
We don't need the 16 bars of intro. Yeah.
YouTube was not cooperating, so.
Well, when does it ever?
YouTube.
But at DragonCon, this friend of mine gave me a multivitamin to take, and I took it, and then the rest of the day I was peeing bright orange. I'm like, what the fuck? It was like, I think I'm sick. I think something's wrong with me. He's like, oh no, that's a multivitamin. I'm like, what? Ugh. I'm peeing Technicolor like
right.
Pebbles hair here. I don't know what to do about it. It's very disturbing.
Speaking of orange, as we often do,
as we often do on this show.
When we get to Scott, we've been working on. We're a bit late on it, but we've been working on. We did like a little book of photos for Ella's first year, and so we have been working on Sarah's. And so in doing so, we thought, well, let's take a look at Ella's book and go back there. And there's this great picture, Scott, of you and Ella. I think what? We had stopped for lunch on the way to Super Show. Like, okay. And we stopped at like a Ponderosa or something for lunch on the way there. And there's just a picture of you sort of like down looking straight at her and the two of you facing each other. And it was like, look, Scott's not wearing orange in this picture.
No.
It was weird.
color it in.
Exactly. That was suggested by Ella, actually. Daddy, I could color it. But it was
shocking.
We
don't talk of the dark days.
And that's it. It was a darker shirt. It's like, wow, it just seems so strange to, you know, usually the camera has to compensate for the light he gives off.
And true. He's a bright star.
Exactly. It's like every picture's overexposed. What happened? Scott was in the vicinity.
Yeah. Orange is the happiest color.
Indeed. Indeed.
Man said so.
Absolutely. No. So,
no way.
For those of you at home who've just tuned in, Scott is fighting a squirrel over Reese's Pieces. This will be going on through the entire episode, so feel free to laugh along with the rest of us.
Well, no, the Reese's Pieces are gone now. Now he's just being a dick.
Oh.
He always thinks I'm hiding them on him, which I usually am, but this time I'm not.
He's gonna
it's weird because, I mean,
he's going to
shake down
the man for some candy here.
Oh, yeah, totally. Because winter is coming, or it's like more or less here, and he hasn't stashed enough freaking candy around the house yet.
Hey.
I'm like, if you're hungry, dude, just go find one.
Game of Thrones has not paid for promotional consideration on this show. None of this winter is coming shit.
That is pure for me. I did that. So. I like the show, so that's okay.
They're paying you, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
In Reese's Pieces, which I have to share with the squirrel. So
okay.
Full he's circle.
So the squirrel is your agent, and that's his cut. I get it.
Yeah, okay. He's terrible, too.
Yeah. Damn.
I've got, like, no gigs. It's ridiculous. Mexican yogurt commercials. What the hell, squirrel? How do you even know about Mexico? Oh, look at him over there, just playing dumb too. He doesn't even know what I'm talking about, asshole. Oh, I'm drinking wine today. Sorry.
That's okay. Juice is good for you.
Yeah.
If I am unusually belligerent, that's probably why.
Sweetie, you can't tell. We just go with Scott. Move on.
All right.
So what are we doing? What are we doing?
So we're going to get into the latest issue of excuse me, Justice League Unlimited.
Bronchitis Quarterly.
No, no kidding. Ugh. Right. But I did want to just get into some of the feedback from last week.
Alrighty.
When we did this then. And so let's just pull that up. All right.
Was I on last week?
You were, sir.
Really?
Yep.
What do we do?
The last issue of
JLU.
Yeah.
So
when we talked about that important supervillain team, the Cadre.
Yes, Cadre.
She got a fist in the house.
Exactly.
Crowbar is gonna fuck you up.
Bar.
All right. So
that dude's costume is terrible. My God,
it's horrible. It's horrible.
It's like new Supergirl costume horrible.
Oh yeah. It's bad, yeah.
Extraño's going,
Yeah. So I'm gonna just go forward to Michael Grabois' views on it, and he had a couple of problems with it.
What?
Michael?
So first. These are good points. These are good points.
I like Michael. He's fun.
We have Legion Code stuff. So he said, first, it's inconceivable to me that the Legion would say that someone has to die in order to prevent a tragedy, and even more so that they'd take steps to accomplish that.
But I
agree.
New 52. There you go. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, that's
everyone has to die in the New 52. That's just the way things is.
But I kind of look at this one though as like the makes me think of the Dead Zone, the movie The Dead Zone, and so Johnny Smith is talking to Herbert Lom, who's like his old doctor, and he says to him, you know, if you could travel through time, would you kill Hitler? And basically, Herbert Lom goes through this whole thing about how he's a man of medicine and he took an oath to preserve life and to kill would be anathema. And he said, and I would go back and I would kill that son of a bitch. It is that greater good argument, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I get where he's coming from, because Legion Code, this seems like it's the wrong thing. Now, I would like to think that they would be trying to figure out any alternative to doing that.
As opposed to this being the first option they go to, right?
They have a Phantom Zone projector?
Well, I think the problem is if he ripped a hole through the space-time continuum to get there, is exiling him anywhere a safe option?
Well, that's a good point as well. But are there other options is always the thing, right?
Maybe we just need to hook him up with the Beyonder from Secret Wars 2, and they can talk it out.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Just a thought.
And he said, second and more problematic and fundamental is that, and I love this because I know where he's headed. He says, second and more problematic and fundamental is that if this event has already happened in the 31st century from the point of view of the Legionnaires, how can they go to the past to change their history?
Mm.
Remember, they've been iffy on this in the past, right?
Yes. Yes, they have been.
Yeah. Or are you allowed to change history now in this universe? And then later, Brainy tells the Mountie Manhunter, yes, It's taking hold.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Michael.
I kind of like the Mussolini Manhunter better. We'll run with it.
We're getting there.
It's a variation on a theme, and it's going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. He said, Brainy tells the Mountie Manhunter that Infinitus was only 36 hours from Earth, and he will allow 24 hours to come up with the solution. Does Brainy not realize that time travel is not a place?
No, he doesn't.
Yes.
Didn't we mention that in the episode?
Pretty sure we did.
Oh, I must have said it at least three times because that stuff drives me nuts.
I think we pointed at that and went. Mm.
Yeah. No. And no. But it's still a good point to bring up, because it is. It's the same. It's the same. It's the one. You know, I thought it was a a solid action-y issue, and I loved that. But I always hate when they're like, we only have, we came back to where we only have 24 hours. And it's like, oh, come on. And I get that, dramatically speaking, the ticking clock is the thing. Mm-hmm. I get that. But, you know, once you've put time travel into it, it becomes ridiculous that the clock ticks in that way.
Maybe that's how long they have before the time travel gizmo pulls them back. See, you could solve that whole thing by just saying there's a time limit on how long you can
be pushed into the past to futz around.
Absolutely true, and actually he addresses that right here. He says, does Brainy not realize that time travel is not a place? You can spend as much time as you want in the 21st century and then return to the 31st a second after you left. Or is it a new rule that any time you spend out of your own time has to be matched by when you return? And as we all know, when they start trying to add rules to time travel, the first thing they do is break them.
Yep.
Yeah.
There are no rules. The Time Masters miniseries was all about that.
Well, that was pre-New 52. So.
Come on. How long did it take?
I pressed a button, folks.
Come on. They were barely, like, this is a problem that goes back long before Dan Didio ever even worked on Reboot.
Paul, what are you talking about? We don't have a problem with time travel. It's okay. Let them write. It's good.
The Time Masters series came out in 1990.
Yeah.
The series was barely over before they had already contradicted the rules which they commissioned that miniseries to create.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
No, you're absolutely correct.
So
I'm not faulting your logic at all. Sir. Yeah.
So there's been some talk in the past about how and this has been discussion on our Facebook page, found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, where you kind of do want to adjust for that in time traveling, because otherwise it's like, you know, you don't stop aging when you travel through time. So I could travel back in time today, stay, hang out back in the past for like, 3-4 years, and I come back to tomorrow and I'm still 4 years older, but it's only a day past, and eventually that shit catches up with you, because all of a sudden they're like, man, dude looks so old. Yeah. Mm. You know, it explains Tim Robbins in the last 8 years.
Wow.
Sorry, I was listening to a thing where they were talking about the Green Lantern movie, and it just anyway. Mm. So yes, the time travel thing, I get why that can become problematic, so maybe you start adjusting for that. I don't know that that's a rule. I'm gonna say that that's probably not a rule that's been set out. I think that it's the idea of the dramatic ticking clock taking precedence over the idea of, well, we can defy laws of physics, so your ticking clock doesn't mean much to me. And it's like, can't hear you, clock's ticking too loud.
Blah, 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 blah.
And then he makes another point, which I think is fantastic, where he says, Brainy sent a battle squad out to fight Infinitus, and among the, quote, most powerful members were Phantom Girl and Shadow Lass.
Yep.
Yeah.
In what universe are they among the most powerful? So right.
People need to see stuff, and if they can't see stuff, they can't fight. So clearly Shadow Lass. Also, she's like a warrior woman, so she's... I could almost buy that she just wouldn't let you not send her. She'd kick your ass if you tried to not send her, so he just sends her anyway.
I can concede her, but unless with Phantom Girl, unless it's the fact that people will be caught up in the vortex of her running away.
Really? Really?
Yeah, well,
really.
That's the thing. You might need someone to run for help, and no one is better suited.
No, no. What Phantom Girl would do is phase through the guy, mess up a couple of internal organs on the way, and then exit the other side. She's like a human
bullet.
While running away, yes.
She's a human bullet.
If he happened to be in the between her and the exit door. Yes.
I dare you to block the egress, sir.
That was good, Scott.
The internal pressure will make you blow. Don't worry. I'll take care of that.
Been there.
Yeah. Kaboom. No. That's just a dig.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Just a dig. That's just
clearly
a dig.
Clearly it's logic.
No, it's not.
Anyway. So... I guess we'll see how this plays out because you know we're an issue into it. Now I think that first issue, as we talked about last week, a lot went on in that issue.
Yes.
This issue less so. I'm just saying.
Uh-ohs.
Yeah.
Reggie.
Yeah. It seems.
Well, the last one was an annual too.
You're right. We had the extra page count, like 10 extra pages, and that's a big difference.
5 of it for the preview of Mon-El smacking people down going, "I'm going to kill the kid." So, you know.
So it's mainly Mon-El that's
part of
that
was really just we have to have a preview. So Mon-El has to say something really overly dramatic. "I'm going to kill the person you care about." You know. So,
yeah,
okay.
In other words, the format becomes part of just the general format and the way that these things are consumed now becomes part of the problem.
The first 5 pages are now preview to get people interested.
Yeah,
so the first 5 pages are all set up.
It's the teaser. It's the teaser before the credits.
Yeah, it's the preview now. 5 pages of preview. You've got 5 pages of here's the idea, no matter how valid it is for the rest of the story, it's typically going to be an over-the-top event.
Yeah.
Just to get people to say, yeah, I'll buy the book. And that's
very
my
true.
Problem with it.
Yeah. And again, that's...
Really should never have said something like that. Ever. Character-wise.
Yeah.
But because we have to do something big and grandiose now, well, there you go.
Yeah. No, So there, I think that's where the points that Michael makes do kind of hit the nail on the head as far as the, and I know that there are reasons for it, but it still runs counter to what we know of these characters.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And I think that takes a back seat to marketing.
Absolutely. And so the format becomes part of the problem.
Yes, totally.
You know, and the format and the way it's consumed and the way... And you know that's sort of just an evolution of the way things have gone, and sometimes that evolution means that you develop opposable thumbs, and and sometimes it leads to other less good.
Even
stuff.
A monkey at a typewriter can.
Yeah, no. So you know sometimes it leads to opposable thumbs, and sometimes it leads to, hey, that sports guy lost a game. I'm gonna tweet nasty stuff to his wife.
Yeah.
And so, you know, evolution isn't always the best way that it goes.
All right, Senator Kelly.
What?
Also, don't disregard the new 52 effect.
True.
Yeah, I would say that the new 52 effect is exactly what I'm saying there is that's the way things have gone and everything's like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's let's not ignore that that they're not the only ones that are more killy.
True.
Well, that's I guess true.
Yeah. So I mean, it you know, it's not like wow, only DC Comics have gone into this way of doing things, and it's like no, they've all been kind of this way. You know, X-Men got this way about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, they were sending people back from the future to kill kids. Long ago.
Yeah, pretty much. How many of the Summers kids have tried to kill their parents yet? 3 or 4?
At least.
Okay, so. At
least. All of them. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, much. I think the new 52 effect is kind of code for basically just the way comics have changed. And
yeah,
not all comics, but certainly in the mainstream. And that's,
yeah, I mean, clearly our comics have gotten more violent, overtly so. And yeah. I don't think that's because the comics code went away. I just think it's because this is what sells.
And they did before the comics code went away. Anyway, yeah. So.
Well, but you know what I mean. I'm,
yeah. Yeah. They did. Yeah. Done in different
I don't think
ways,
we can sure. point at that as the cause. I think it's just.
No. Good point. Good point.
You know, things have just gotten to the point where when you have other titles that are independents who are showing all kinds of things selling, you know, way over what either DC or Marvel is, DC and Marvel are going to compensate by doing similar things. So, because that's what's selling.
Yeah.
And I don't think we would have Marvel Zombies or Blackest Night without Walking Dead being so freaking popular.
Well, absolutely. That.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
And
way to go, Robert Kirkman.
Yeah, it's all it's all Kirkman's fault.
But I'm being serious. I mean, the big guys look at what the little guys do, and when little guys strike upon something that is important and is selling things, they're like, oh, well, let's capitalize
on
that.
Because when you think
that?
About it, when you think about it, it's like, wow, they're selling that many, and their reach is so much smaller. Like, they have a lot less money to put into this, and they were able to sell that much?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
And of course, they're going to jump all over it, right? Mm-hmm.
And as they should. I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
It's they call it the comics business.
Yeah, it's a business.
Yeah.
That's their job, to give people what they want to buy.
Yep. And you know, the one thing that will ensure that a course of action that they take doesn't work is for people to not buy it.
Yep. And they will correct and go into a what? Say it with me, kids. A bold new direction.
Indeed. Indeed.
And take a drink.
Huzzah. So before we get too deep into the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we get at all deep into the issue.
Yeah, because this is a first, actually.
I was going to say, have we actually even opened the issue yet?
No.
And I'm
doing this one raw, kids.
And sir, I do not propose that we do that just yet, because I want to talk about the cover.
Oh.
Okay.
I've got things to say about the cover. What would you like to say about the cover?
Well, first off, I get that he's kind of animaling out, but Animal Man looks like a Black Lantern, and I get like looking at his arms, he's kind of hairing up, he's kind of wolfing out or something.
Yeah, I don't think Buddy can do that, can he?
No, he doesn't. Yes. He never used to. Anyway, he used to just.
He used to still look like himself. I mean, there were some times in the Morrison series where he did. But not often.
He'd look a little more ragey, like if he was doing like a wild animal thing. But
yeah,
he was still human shaped.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm trying to think. Even in the Lemire Foreman series, I don't think that rule was broken. So this just seems odd to me, and he seems very. I think they're like, hey, Walking Dead's doing good. Let's make him look like a zombie.
Well, they're all not really. I mean, if I was to look at this cover,
and that's a stylistic thing, but yeah. It's more pronounced on him.
Mm-hmm. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 characters standing around in dramatic pose with nothing else going on.
Yeah,
I mean it's okay.
Honestly, looking at it, like actually, Supergirl looks good. Mm-hmm. And she's holding on to Ultra and in a defensive pose.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to guard Ultra, but I think I would have gotten more out of that if there were people around.
They've kind of missed the point and zoomed in on them in their defensive poses without showing us what they're defending against.
Yep.
And having the and we know what that is. It's the Legion. So not having the Legion around them as the attacking force, like that to me would be more dramatic. Is it's like, look, hero versus hero, because uh-huh. You know, as much as we joke about that being a trope, it's always the thing, right?
Well, and the other issues I have with this comic is there's no mention of Legion in it at all. There's no guest starring the Legion of Superheroes on here.
No, and there was on the last issue, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and the top line, gathering to protect the galaxy. Doesn't that sound like a movie that came out recently?
Hey, Power to him. You're right. When you say that, the first thing I thought when I saw that was yeah, it's a total cash in on that. And you know what? Again, it's a business.
It's a business.
Yeah. But if they were really smart, they would have said gathering to guard the galaxy.
The galaxy. Yeah. No, maybe that's a little too.
Maybe that's too on the nose.
But let's be honest about that. It's like, really? I mean, I just would. I hope this cover was like a number three choice, and the number one and number two were worse. Because this cover would not make me buy this comic.
You're right. The last issue, I just checked the annual. It did indeed have the Legion's name on it. It said Justice League United against the Legion of Superheroes. And I think if you're looking for some continuity along this storyline, you want to go with that. And that has nothing to do with the creative team. That is totally down to marketing and making sure that gets on the cover. Yep.
And I don't understand, like, the weird even across the top, Hawkman, the infinite symbol.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, Hawkman symbol here looks like it's from where I'm looking for Lion-O. It looks kind of Thundercat-y to me there.
Yes, it does. It does.
I mean,
but also it's kind of out of place and doesn't make a lot of sense given, like, you know,
given that he's not on the cover.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It like why? It doesn't make any sense, you know. And it's not even like it's a motif that they've been following in previous issues where it's like, yeah, we always kind of stuff someone else's symbol there. No, they don't. No. And this is in fact the first time that they've done that. And
they could have taken the circle there where Stargirl's staff is kind of bisecting it in a way. And put the L for the Legion there.
Just if we're going to start doing that.
Well, I'm saying just as a nod to the fact that Legion's in the book.
Especially given that they made such a big deal about it on the cover of the annual. This just doesn't seem to sell the storyline well.
No.
You know, the idea of it is what this does is, like, I guess the way to think about it is, I look at this, I see them on an asteroid, all gathering around to guard Ultra, right?
Uh-huh.
So who does this sell this story to? People who are already reading this story.
Yep.
It does nothing to grab anyone who hasn't been reading this story. Because honestly, when I looked at it at first, I didn't know what that was on Supergirl until I looked closely and it's like, oh, it's Ultra. Okay.
Let's put the disclaimer out there. We have not read this comic yet, correct?
I have.
None of us.
I read it last night. Yeah.
You read it last night. Yeah. So I don't understand why the space team is protecting Ultra when Ultra's on Earth.
An entirely other point, but not at all wrong.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Believe me. So. Yeah. No, there is no doubt that this is symbolic at best. But
this scene does not happen in this comic.
Yeah, totally, totally, and not anywhere near. But at the same time, like, the way that they've gone about this is it sells it to people who are reading this storyline already, and the idea of the cover should be pulling in people who haven't even thought of reading this story yet. Like, yep. and they're looking at it and it's like, give me a reason. And so it should be drawing people in who might not be reading this book. And given that there are a lot of people who are now reading this book because the Legion's appearing in it, maybe you want to go with promoting that, because maybe that's going to get you a few other people.
Maybe.
It's not a lot of other people given the sales of the last series, but it's still people who might not be reading your current book, and they should be working to pull in people who aren't already reading the storyline. And this has nothing that gives that. Like, we don't even know what they're defending against, and giving some idea of that scope might make a stronger point. So anyway,
agreed. So okay. Entering the book, we because I think we've talked the cover to death. So hopefully
we got almost 10 minutes out of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So hopefully
more than deserved
stuff on the inside. And thank you. We have a Thume right off the bat. Take a
drink. Oh, yeah.
We are in the Justice League United bunker in Moosonee, Canada, and there's Ultra and Equinox. Remember, Equinox is staying with the child. The child is looking a rather preteen almost here.
Yeah,
He's looking about the same size as Danny Chase back in the New Teen Titans for me. So,
Is he going to start being a jackass? Because then I think they should totally phantasm his ass.
Equinox says they've been gone a while. Do you think they're okay up there? And Ultra says, Mil Yabin. And she says, yes, I'm Miyabin.
Miyabin.
And you're Miyabin, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And you're Ultra, right? And he says it again, Miyabin. And yeah, it means it's going to be a good day in Kree. And you hear another, boom, good day. And she's like, yeah, not so much.
I said good day.
I said good day, sir. So I guess I'm supposed to protect you. Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Stop the recording.
Oh?
My Comixology just went down. My internet has flummoxed. For some reason, Skype is still working. But I can't read the comic without Comixology being up. So
I'm not gonna I'm just going to continue on from where you left off.
Oh, well, you continue on where I left off. And I'm going to unplug and replug my internet in and see if that helps.
All right.
They'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Do it.
All right.
Do it.
All right. So she says, yeah, not so much. So she says, I guess I'm supposed to protect you. I guess I'm a superhero now. Equinox. Because she's all like, you need to know my code name, kid.
So she's like a reluctant superhero, I guess.
Apparently. And now to be fair, I haven't read the entire first arc, so I don't know how that all came out. But she's new to it. Like, we're on issue 6, and she was a new hero in issue 1.
Yeah.
Right. So, and you know, our last encounter with her was, of course, the Future's End thing, where it seemed like she was more along the way. But, of course, that's 5 years later. So, it makes sense that this is a new thing to her at this stage. So she says she doesn't. So there's a big wham above them, and she says, "I don't feel much like a superhero yet, though."
Yeah, before you go.
Thank you. You know, because if you're gonna do it right. So she says, don't tell the others, but I've never even left Moosonee before. So Ultra says, Ultra not tell. Ultra like me, Abin. And she says, thanks. I like you too. You're the first alien I ever talked to. Cue the wah-wah music. As his hand reaches hers. Maybe that's not what they're going for. All right. Take it, Darren.
So back on the surface, the Mountie Manhunter says, be careful, Alana. You are still on training combat. It may be best to keep your distance, as Jean is apparently going toe-to-toe with the black mass there. Saturn Girl's in the back and saying, hey, Brainy, get off your damn comm and give us a hand. As we see Shrike is coming after Alana, and she says, yeah, a little too late for that, Manhunter. Underneath that, that kind of looks like Supergirl there, doesn't it? And I don't think she should be there.
It's absolutely Supergirl.
Is that absolutely Supergirl and she should not be there?
Except Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Her boots don't go over her knees anymore. Remember we talked last week about how one of the problems with the costume is that the boots go over her knees?
Yep.
And also that particular pose doesn't seem very Supergirlish, does it?
It doesn't. Maybe it's someone
else.
It looks
like she just got punched out or something.
Something like that.
Yeah. Everything about it seems like Supergirl, but the boots are totally wrong.
Yep. Mon-El is giving the heat vision to the guy we would know as the Overmaster. And Brainy says, I am Saturn Girl. I've accessed the Legion's 20th Century archives. It would seem these call themselves the Cadre. minor mercenaries, though a few of them do have particularly formidable power sets, as Shatterfist attempts to put his fist through Phantom Girl's boob.
Wow, she's super powerful.
She is super powerful.
Look at her standing her ground for a change.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm reserving
images in comics, right?
I'm reserving a ticket on Amtrak now. I will be there shortly. I will slap you both and then get back on the train and go back home.
Yeah, yeah. If I thought you actually had a passport, I would think that was.
Do you need to renew that thing? Anyway,
this is just a snapshot in time. We only see the moment before she runs away.
Mm, thanks.
Oh.
So there's we actually have a roll call. Martian Manhunter, Green Arrow, Supergirl, Animal Man, Stargirl, Alana Strange, Adam Strange, Equinox, Ultra the Multi-Alien, Mon-El, Brainiac 5, Saturn Girl, Phantom Girl, Shrike, Overmaster, Shatterfist, Black Mass, and Nightfall. I guess the girl in the cape is supposed to be Nightfall, but she's wearing Supergirl's costume. That's weird.
She is in this case. It's odd. And I just want to point out one little note. When you said Green Arrow, it starts to it sounds weird to me now.
Not just Arrow.
Yeah, yeah. Like I've gotten so used to that. It's weird.
Arrow.
It's crazy.
Wow. Anyway, Martian Manhunter, Brainy says I'd be particularly careful with Black Mask if I were you. And he, Martian Manhunter attempts to smack him, and Black Mask gives off a kazit. Don't know what that does. And he
doesn't get us a drink. I know it doesn't do that.
And he is Black Mass has grabbed on to Martian Manhunter. I find your running commentary rather annoying, Brainiac 5.
I like that.
As Black Mask and Martian Manhunter are now in grappling combat in D&D, which is usually when I flip the table and walk away from the.
Oh, you go quest. All Real Housewives?
I do. I totally do. Nice. I hate grappling.
Nice.
So
I would have thought that grappling was your favorite attack, Darren.
In real life, yes. Pen and paper D&D, it's horrible. So, yeah. So, Shrike is addressing Alana Strange, saying, where's the child, the super hybrid? Hand him over and we let the rest of you live. Yeah, maybe you guys should. And then Alana switches with Adam Strange. Flosh, uh-oh. Yeah, and so Adam flies down to the ground, apparently, and Shrike hits a tree. And Amandel says, why the hell does that keep happening?
Fresh hell is this?
Actually, that's kind of funny. Let's give it to that. That's kind of amusing.
That's a funny moment. And honestly, that whole sort of conceit of them keep switching places, the most inopportune moments.
Inopportune times,
it's a good bit. It's a good bit.
The moon of Ringor. In the Polaris system, Bith is still trapped by the one hand of Supergirl.
Yes, and if there was any doubt, that is not Supergirl on Earth.
That's got to be Nightfall.
Here she is, because the boots are even right. So it's a coloring error, clearly.
Yeah, it's a coloring error. So you're too late. It's begun. Infinitus is coming. What have you done, Bith? What is that thing? Oh, look, it's exposition, lass. Okay. A new universe is coming, Supergirl. A living universe that will consume this one. Don't you see? It will purify everything.
Uh-oh.
You don't need to
I'm
be
sorry.
Scared.
A new universe?
A new universe.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
We're going to get DP7 all over.
Starbrand. Nice. Starbrand was the best of them, Scott, I think.
True, true. But I still like DP7, if only for the
initial. DP7 and Psi-Force were both very good as well.
So.
Cool.
Yeah. Supergirl says, I'm not scared of anything, and slams Bith through a wall. And it says, really, it seems to me you're scared of everything, Supergirl. You hide it behind your raw power. But I see it in you. I see that scared little girl. Join me.
Fool.
Become one with the infinite, and it will all go away. And Bith turns his body into a lot of hentai.
Yeah, it looks like a big mass of turnips to me.
Hentai claw power activate.
Basically. And Supergirl says, great Krypton, you are utterly vile, Bith. Because his hands are literally everywhere on her right now.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Hawkman and Green Arrow are beating the crap out of each other as usual. Arrow says, Hawkman, you need to stop this. I don't know what Bith told you, but you're a Justice Leaguer. You're our friend. And Hawkman says, I know exactly who you are. You and the Justice League killed me, but the Nth Metal wouldn't let me die. It healed me and brought me back.
Ah, this does my heart good, seeing a big old Green Arrow Hawkman
battle. I know, right?
You know. Now, usually this used to just be talking.
Yeah, it was philosophical.
But as Scott says, it's the new 52 effect. Yeah. Now they can't just talk out their problems and yell at each other. No, now they got to kick the shit out of each other.
Not everyone goes around saying, "Hey, chum, how are you?" No,
no.
Hawkman's all like, he's all like, "Oh, Obama's the worst president ever." Wham!
Pretty much, yeah. Lord Bith found me and showed me the true path. Oh no, he's a zealot. And Arrow goes flying off. Stargirl and Animal Man are doing their thing, and she says, "What's that thing doing in space, buddy?" I don't know, kid. A little busy beating up the space cult at the moment, because Buddy has now the strength of an elephant.
And that is more the way I expect his power to be illustrated.
And I completely agree with
and,
you.
And I think that the cover was just some artistic license that clearly is clueless as to how his powers work. I'm just saying.
And Stargirl says, I know, but whatever it is, it's getting worse. I think we need to. And she gets, Stargirl gets a little... phaser fire from the behind there. Ugh. And Buddy, forgetting all about secret identities in space, yells, Courtney!
And then, no, the cover was accurate.
Oh, yeah, look at
the insides. He goes all Sabretooth on her, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, look at that.
I'd love to be able to tell you what it's doing, but
that's ridiculous.
Is spinning.
Oh,
all
right. Dear.
So he says, get away from her. And he goes all Sabretooth, like literally gets the big, like Scott says, he gets the big old mutton chops like Sabretooth and the ridiculous forearm hair.
Mm-hmm.
And claws. And so you see them get all bloody as he scrags them, because, you know, that's what happens.
That is what happens all the time.
Yeah, and then they're all scragged as it would be, and then he's back to normal, and he says, Stargirl, and she says, I'm okay, and he says, you sure? And she says, I'm okay, and he goes, good, because I've kind of gotten used to having you around, kid.
Aww.
Look at this. He's being, you know, it's
he's being a good guy. He's a good guy.
It's his super, you know, like people talk about how people have their home wife and their work wife. He's got his home kids and his work kids. So we go back to the Justice League United bunker, the J-Lub. That should totally.
I don't think that will ever catch on.
No. You don't really? Hey, Mountie Manhunter caught the fuck on last week. I think J Lub, just say it, J Lub. Come on, you love it. Anyway, back down in Moosonee, Canada, because they're gonna like that better than saying Moosonee, Canada. So everybody else is fighting, and Brainy's sitting there in the middle with his iPad saying. Nice work, Phantom Girl. I'm now calculating a 96% chance of victory within the next 4.6 minutes. Like, someone's got to kick him in the nuts, right?
He's downloading an app to tell him how long the fight's going to last.
Like, come on. Like, someone's going to be like bitch, please. I'm doing the fighting here. And and so someone's just going to go over, give him a quick kick in the balls, and then go back to what they're doing.
You know, he's just live tweeting the whole thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hashtag crossover. Hashtag cadre.
Hashtag Mounty Manhunter.
Exactly. Hashtag cadre clash. we've got, I don't know who the hell this guy is that...
Overmaster.
So
yeah, Overmaster.
Yeah. Okay. So Saturn Girl says, "Got now, Mon-El. I've got him in a telepathic fugue." And he says, "Thanks, Saturn Girl. The big guy is tougher than he looks." And then he gives him a wham, because if you're gonna do it right now.
Do it with me.
and he goes flying, and he says, as he's you know. Flying through the air.
Y'all mentioned that Animal Man is now Sabretooth, right?
Yeah, we talked about it.
I'm getting caught up as the panels load. Sorry.
Ridiculous. Okay. Ridiculous.
That, no, that's...
Ridiculous! No.
That.
It ain't right, sir.
I don't like it.
Don't like it a bit. Mm-hmm.
Roll wow. Dumplings.
Don't worry, sir. We registered our discontent.
Did you?
Yeah. It says, Black Mass, when she connected telepathically with me, I saw the child. He is below. Uh-oh.
Dope.
And he says, I'm on it, Overmaster. And gzz.
What kind of sloppy shit is that, Saturn Girl? Jeez. When you're, you know, doing the fugue state thing, you're not supposed to let him see what's going on in your head.
Exactly. Here's the thing you're looking for, Saturn Girl. Firewall. Firewall.
Yeah.
So he goes, he zaps down to he teleports out, and Mounty Manhunter says, Ultra!
And, oh, that's what the gzzzt power is.
Yeah,
that's
He
teleported behind Martian Manhunter.
So he shows up downstairs, and he's going for Ultra. And Equinox says, no! And she says, stay back. He says, whatever you throw at me, kid, I just teleport away. So she zaps him with some beams, mm-hmm. and he just I don't know where he teleports it, but, you know, maybe out into the air and it just away from him, basically.
He's faster than he looks.
Well, yeah, exactly, because he's not using a physical, like, you know, because you look at him, you think, oh, he's a big oaf, right? So he's but the thing is, his power is a mind power. Basically, like it's a speed of thought thing, and so, you know, his physical size has no bearing on it, and so then he grabs a hold of Equinox and Ultra and zaps away, just as Mon-El and Mounty Manhunter and Phantom Girl are coming through the wall.
Dope.
And Phantom Girl's like, "What the hell? I thought I was getting out of here."
Yeah, no.
Nope. So Ultra does end up in the same place as Supergirl, because right then he pops up in Black Mass pops up in front of Biff while he's fighting Supergirl and says, "I'm back, boss. I got the brat," Supergirl punches out Biff and. Black Mass says, now you go bye-bye, Super Kid. And he kzzts her away, which... Mm-hmm. So basically we had almost two panels where Supergirl was on the same... in the same vicinity as Ultra, and at no point was she holding on to him. So, yes, this scene does not occur in this book. So Biff says, where did you send Supergirl? I may need her. Just ported her back to Earth. Should keep her out of the way for a while. And who is this? Pointing to Equinox. And she says, get back. Kiwatin! And she zaps him with some... I guess that's her freeze thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Wind power or something?
Maybe it's a wind
thing. That's her polar vortex power.
Oh, polar vortex. Yeah. She's going to make Bama cold. Mm-hmm. And she says, Green Arrow and the other heroes are over there, Ultra. Let's go. Ultra, come on. But he's just looking at this glowing thing in the sky. Uh-oh.
Spaced out.
Uh-oh. And then Biff grabs onto her with his freaking turnip arms. It says, an elemental. Didn't know about you. Fascinating. You seem to be generating your own personal atmosphere as if from within. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm kind of liking Equinox as a character, I gotta say. You know, and that's great because I love to love a new character.
Yeah. And I think she's got lots of potential.
Absolutely.
Really,
and just, you know, some interesting powers, and we know that she's new to this. So she may not even know that she's doing that.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. So she's like, let go. And then Black Masters, let me teleport her into the nearest sun. We'll see how tough she is. I hate that kid.
What a dick.
I hate that kid.
Although you gotta admit, being able to teleport this far away, that's pretty damn powerful. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to be a dick about it.
Yeah. What a jerk.
What does she do to you, buddy? Nothing. Yeah.
Jerk.
She's just sitting there breathing.
It's not like she's gypsy.
Wow. Wow. I like gypsy.
He's still butthurt from gypsy. That's what it is.
Yeah. That was just the only specifically JL Detroit I could think of. And I could have gone with Vibe, but come on.
Well, who hasn't?
They know.
That's what she said.
They know. All right, so Bith says she's no longer any concern. Like the rest, she'll be absorbed in Infinitus's wake. And you, my beautiful little child, he says, indicating the still glowing thing obsessed Ultra. And he says, that is where we must go, Ultra. That is where you will be reborn as a god.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
And meanwhile, Hawkman and Green Arrow are still at it. He says, Hawkman, no. And Hawkman says, no beginning, no end. And
that's basically his life, yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Animal Man comes running through with the strength of a rhino and knocks him away and says, heads up, Hawkey, rhino beats Hawk every time. Oh, yeah. Everyone knows when they play Rhino Hawk Scissors that it's Rhino beating Hawk.
Rhino Hawk Scissors.
Yeah.
I'm so going to play that tomorrow at work.
Right? I know.
Rhino Hawk Scissors.
Absolutely. I hope you will. That and J-Lub. There you go. Oh, come on! And he says, Animal Man says to Arrow, he says, you totally owe me one now. And he says, I had him right where I wanted him. And it's like, yeah. What that were you trying to tire him out by keep punching you?
He was just about to admit that Obamacare works.
He's like, but the website, the goddamn website.
No beginning, no end.
Yeah. And
because it's true.
And so they're under the shadow of Hawkman's wings, but then Shrack, and Stargirl's there with the Cosmic Rod, saying, "Now you both owe me one."
As you do, because let's face it, out of this group, Stargirl's got the power. So
yeah, she does, and she finds. Equinox and says, Miyabin, right? From Moose Factory? I like the costume. She says,
Moose Factory. That's awesome.
And she says, thanks. I think I hate space. And meanwhile, Green Arrow is saying, Bith, get the hell away from Ultra or I'll put an arrow through your eye. And he says, too late. And Shrack. Uh-oh, this can't be good. And we see all kinds of crazy glowy stuff going on and little tendrils of demons coming down, all aiming at Ultra. And Arrow says, you've got to be kidding me.
I can't shoot that with arrows. What am I going to do?
He's like, what the hell? He's like, on TV, I got like abs like you wouldn't believe. And none of this stuff.
Because I do the salmon press climb every episode because that's hot. Anyway.
You know.
Where he takes the barbell and he keeps moving it up in the air and keeps climbing and climbing and climbing. Oh, Lord. What were we talking about?
I have no idea.
I've completely forgotten as well.
Okay.
Hey, no.
Herm.
Sorry, I'll be honest with you. I'm still kind of stuck on the Moose Factory thing.
Well, she's an American teenager. I mean, what do you expect out of me?
See, right? No, Moose Factory's in Edmonton.
But
it ties in. No, you know what? She's right. Look at her. I call complete bullshit. No American teenager is going to know Moose Factory and
not know Moosini.
Yeah, total. It's in the area. Basically, Moose Factory is a community in the Cochrane District, Ontario, Canada. It is located on Moose Factory Island, near the mouth of the Moose River, which is at the southern end of James Bay. It was the first English-speaking settlement in Ontario, and the second Hudson's Bay Company post to be set up in North America.
North of Moose Street on the Moose Building.
On the mainland, across the Moose River, is the nearby community of Moosonee. She's totally right.
She did her homework.
Yeah, and that's horseshit. No, people, Scott, you and I live in Canada and we didn't catch it.
I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So no way in hell does Stargirl, an American teenager, know that shit.
Well, they must have talked earlier or something.
Well, I'm sure Jeff Lemire told her about it. So
yeah, absolutely,
you know, is that because close to where Justin Bieber comes from.
To be fair, Jeff Lemire did actually spend some time, and I give him all credit to this because he went around in Moosonee and he talked to people there and he said, like, what kind of thing would you like to see? And I think that's really cool. Like, he definitely researched this character. It's just that I don't know that these other characters would necessarily have done the same quality of research as he did. Anyway, at any rate. Okay, she's a smart girl. Whatever.
She watched the Holovids.
Yes, yes, she
whatever
did.
Whatever it is the Justice League has.
Yeah, exactly. So well,
it's probably also Stargirl was... You know, at the offset of this whole series, wasn't she supposed to be the one who was going to be? She was the eager superheroine, and then it turned out that they just wanted her for PR. So maybe she
yeah, that was at the beginning of the
JLA, right?
Yeah, yeah, maybe it's
just because she's just had to work so hard to be taken seriously.
Absolutely, yeah. Good point.
Maybe it's that.
I think it's also Jeff Lemire saying, I'm going to make the character that's based on my boss's sister look smart. probably not the case, but, you know, not a bad way to go. So Arrow does manage to put some arrows through the... speaking of which, Darren, are you caught up on Arrow?
No.
Okay, never mind.
I have a break coming. Okay.
I'm going to say three words. Boxing, glove, arrow.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Do that again. I'm right there. I'm right there.
Boxing, glove, arrow. Yeah. All right. So as he shoots one of these little glowy demons, he says, fall back. And we look and suddenly Ultra's on like the top of a hill.
Giving his Sermon on the Mount to all the demons.
It could suddenly only hold him and not Biff as well. And Stargirl says, fall back. Where? There are too many of them. Okay, so she's not the smartest girl anymore. And then we see Saturn Girl show up back on...
You mean
on...
Supergirl.
Sorry, yes, Supergirl. You're absolutely right. Oh, my. Show up back on Earth after she gets gzzzed and slams into the wall. So we see...
So it's Alana, Phantom Girl,
Alana, okay.
Martian Manhunter, Brainy, and Mon-El there.
Yeah, and she says, Manhunter, they have Ultra. Biff has Ultra. He's insane.
He cray cray.
Yeah, and John says, Sardath, can you hear me? We need immediate transportation to this moon, Ringor, now. And Sardath says, I'm trying to calibrate this Zeta beam to the moon's coordinates, but there seems to be some kind of massive energy form interfering with my instruments. I wonder what that is.
Take a drink.
Oh, yes. And Brainy says, no need for panic. I've already sent reinforcements to Ringar. You know, and Mountie Manhunter's like, what are you talking about, Brainiac 5? I thought you were just playing Angry Birds on your iPad.
Seriously.
And he says, you see, Martian Manhunter, the Legion has its own away team already trapped in this time period. I've rallied them. You guys haven't read this. Ready?
No.
I've called in the Legion Lost.
Well, there we go, and there's the end of the splash page with Tellus, Wildfire, Donnie, Tyrock, Chameleon Girl, Timberwolf, and Gates.
Absolutely. Next month, a universe united.
Well, we'll see, won't we?
Mm-hmm. And then they show a variant cover that's basically the same cover, just in red.
Yeah, and Tellus has arms.
I'm less concerned with them having arms and more
He's got arms. He's not supposed to have real legs.
It's the legs, and I don't see much in the way of legs.
I see nubs. I see a nub. Yeah. But his front paws look very arm-like to me. I don't know.
They're more hand-like than...
than normal, yeah.
Four fingers, so they're at least cartoon fingers.
Yeah. Why would you do an alternate cover of this?
That's basically the same, just with a red tint.
Yeah. I don't get it. Okay, well, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it is the same freaking cover art. Like it makes no sense. Nothing about this cover makes sense. Nothing about anything about the cover strategy. So as I said, less happens in this issue than in the last.
Well, it was an annual, so there's more pages in an annual.
There's 50% more pages. You're right. So I still feel as if there is some movement, but It was Legion Light.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I agree. Maybe that's why I didn't put Legion on the cover. Maybe, not that much Legion in it.
That's a good point. It's a good point. But given that they're trying to market it to the, you know, we have this extra team. You know, the reason they did the annual JLA, JSA team-ups back in the day wasn't just because... oh, why not? It was because they knew it sold.
Yep.
So, I think that you know, you want in especially in today's market, you want to go with anything that gets you even a few extra readers. Every little bit helps, exactly. And so I'm surprised that they didn't have some sort of trade dress indicating the Infinitus Saga.
Yeah, that's weird.
Right? Like that's unusual. And maybe that's with the, everybody's event phobic. I don't know.
Except for salesmen.
Yeah. But I still think that they've missed some opportunity here. And hopefully they'll kind of get that fixed up in the next couple of issues. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, maybe it is that there wasn't much Legion involvement. But come on, how many Crisis crossovers did we read where it was like, oh, there's a panel with a red sky?
The one panel. Usually at the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the very last panel.
I
looked
outside. Oh, my God, what's this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, what was that robot, Scott?
Yeah, you're breaking up, Captain.
What'd you say?
I don't know. I can't remember now.
Ah, man.
Wow, that was quick.
It was a long time ago. It was so long ago.
It's like wine o'clock, dude. Come on.
White or red?
Red.
Nice.
Like I've been up since about this time yesterday, so.
Dude. All right. So overall reflections on this issue.
Hate the cover.
Yeah.
I don't hate the cover as bad as you guys do. I don't really like the way they're doing Buddy's powers right now, but whatever.
Yeah. Animal Man is not Sabretooth.
There are definitely, as Paul said, lost opportunities there. There should be a little bit more interaction with the actual story rather than just three pictures of the team.
Yeah, and here's my thing with regards to Buddy's powers, and it's nitpicky, I know, but we're shown two completely different ways in which they work in the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Like in most of the cases, they show that sort of, you know, in red avatar of this is the animal he's imitating, but he still stays in his same form. And then they do that one saber-toothy thing, and it's like, so which way does it work? And that and again, I'm being nitpicky with it, but I'm just looking for consistency in the same issue.
Well, totally. Yep. Why didn't he grow a big rhino horn when he was running around?
Exactly, you know? Exactly. And I get that what they were saying was this was a more dramatic moment, but That still works. That still works. You know, showing the big 3D avatar of what he's doing, it still works. And so it just seems silly. And makes absolutely no sense as to why they would go that route.
I agree.
So, all right then.
Indeed.
So as the
sunset, not a bad issue two for a story. So you know.
Yeah, given
stakes are raised, and you know we have our reveal at the end. Okay, cool. So bring us more. So
yeah, and you know what? If nothing else, we got. Tyrock, baby,
shut your mouth.
So we'll see where all this goes in the next issue, but we're gonna finish up for now, and yeah, that's what we're gonna do. That's just the way it's gonna go. All right, so comments as always are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found easily at legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. Or, sorry, facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. Oh, my goodness.
You're tired.
But if they go to legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, there's a link right there that says the subs on Facebook. Nice and easy to find.
True.
We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. In addition to all these things, you can head to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can join in the and you can comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, and we head back into the 21st century exactly an hour after we left.
Yeah.
And we will see you all next week.
Sleepy time.